Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Scott Miller, an easy name I can pronounce and not screw up. He is the CEO and executive leader of several global beverage companies. He worked his way up learning from the ground up. He started in the warehouse floor at Pepsi. I love that kind of stuff. If we have time, I'd like to talk about that. But we have so many things to talk about. He's not just an executive handing down edicts. He empowers others, which in turn empowers ourselves. He's somebody who is just not going, do this. He is collaborating with people. He manages the collaboration and making a difference from the ground up. He wrote a book also called The Summit Mindset. We'll see if we can get to all this stuff because I could go over more, but it would take up the whole hour or whatever we're doing on this talk. So I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here with you, Philip. I really look forward to talking about business and life and just having a fireside chat.
Exactly. My first question then, I'm going to ask you this. I ask all the guests this. What was your serendipity? Your accident, your coincidence. You didn't wake up and just go, I think I'm going to be a CEO. I think I'm going to do it. What I know there's a lot of things in your life, but what pops in your mind first that says, I needed to go in this direction? And you tried to fight it, but you were like, I'm going down that road. What was that thing, that serendipity?
That's a great question. I had a real intersection in my life in my early 20s, and you can read about it in the Summit Mindset. My dad was a roofer in the Northeast, and you know, we grew up, you know, poor, humble kids, and he got cancer at the age of 50, and on his deathbed, he turned to me and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, what are you actually sorry for? And he said, I'm sorry I didn't try harder. And he literally died in 2 months. And, you know, that was an intersection in my life. I believe we all have intersections. And I said to myself, that weakness is going to become my strength. I'm going to attack life and go after it the best I can. I'm going to have an incredible work ethic. I'm going to be a learner and just push forward. So that was really, I would say, the first real intersection in my life. But as you know, through our lives, we all have adversity and we go through many intersections. And I believe we can all learn along that journey as long as we don't sleepwalk through them, I like to say.
Oh, wow. That's very true. And that goes back to something in the philosophy we talk about. You know, you just walk on automatic. You're working on automatic. You know, you go to school, maybe you go to college, maybe you get a diploma, maybe you learn, whatever you do, and you go on automatic. And there's something that's burning inside you. And, you know, it's sad that your dad died that way, but it also inspired you.
Yes.
You know, and it was something that was like, no, I call those little God winks, little things that tapping you on the shoulders, right? And so it's interesting because when my parents died, some things sparked and a book appeared and all this other stuff that happened. I'm like, whoa, you know, you could take a lot of positive out of negative things.
I agree. I like you probably, Philip, you know, my greatest victories have come through struggle in life. The winner's circle actually to me is the easy part. The job's done. But the struggle and understanding to do the reps through that struggle and lean into that adversity. And that's what the Summit Mindset's about, that business and life is always changing. And it's how we really grow and learn along that journey and know that victory is in that struggle. And that's where our growth happens.
Well, but people don't think of it that way. They think that. And we define it also as making mistakes. If you know, I wish there was another word. Maybe struggle is a good word. But when you make mistakes, you have a choice. You have to go, and you just stress out about it. And, you know, it's just toxic chemicals through your body and you can't sleep. Or you learn from this because, you know, people were asking me, it was like, well, you're really good at doing the podcast show. I'm like, yeah, I didn't feel that way when I started doing this last year. I was like, had a blindfold on my eyes and I'm always improving. You always can improve. Like you said, there's something always changing in life. When people are going, you know, I wish it would just stay this way. Good luck with that. It's mindful change, as they call it now. They're using mindfulness a lot, which is fine, or physical change. There's always emotional change. There's relationship changes. Do you think the way you think right now, your thoughts that you're thinking when you were 25?
No, absolutely not. I think that what often people make the mistake is they think life is a straight line. And I think it's continuously changing. And I believe that you have to have a mindset that life's an inside-out job. If you're running a business, it's an inside-out job. As an individual, it's an inside-out job. So you got to look inward. You got to ask yourself, what do you stink at? How do you recalibrate? How do you create change? It's a business question I always ask. Like, hey, what do we stink at? I know what we do well. We have to get better in supply chain and finance and marketing. Let's talk about what we stink at. Let's close those gaps. Then we could become a better competitor. As individuals, we all stink at something. If we close those gaps and we have a mindset of continuous improvement, and when you have the mindset of continuous improvement, you're looking to always learn in your failures. That becomes how you never stop evolving as an individual. Like, I want to be better next year than I am this year. And if you have that mindset, you have a learner's mindset and you're always evolving to get better. I think that's what really makes life exciting. I think that's what makes it stimulating. And when you have that mindset, you're in pursuit of life and you're not standing still.
But you're uncomfortable.
It's good. It's good to be uncomfortable because you're growing. You know, complacency is where dreams go to die. That's what dreams
go to die. Stop. Say that again for the audience.
Complacency is where dreams go to die.
Remember that, audience. Go ahead, continue.
Never looking to be complacent. I'm always looking to be in pursuit. And pursuit doesn't mean, wow, I got to have this big, hairy, audacious goal. Whatever you want to be in pursuit of, just your week, your day, this conversation with you is a great pursuit to talk and learn from each other. So often what people think is, wow, it's got to be huge. No, it just has to be progress. It just has to be simple steps. And when you're doing that, you're not complacent. When you're doing that, you're always looking for a nugget to learn. And I think that's when life is really fun.
Well, you mentioned the three things about, you know, supply chain and business. We always focus on the big titles of whatever it is, whether it's health or finance. And it's kind of like going after a degree. I got my MBA when I was older, and I had more fun doing it as an adult. And I enjoyed the living daylights out of it because I'm like, I had life experience. Yeah. But it wasn't the piece of paper. You get the piece of paper, it's like, big deal. It doesn't, or when you get, it's like, I want to make X amount of money, and you get there, but you were miserable. You didn't sleep. You're divorced. All your friends don't talk to you.
You know, that's a really, Philip, you just hit a nerve. I think that's a really important point. How people define what happiness is. I talk about this in the Summit Mindset. Listen, we define it sometimes in our culture, the big house, the title, the money. But when you arrive at that destination, if you're not doing the inside work, you're still unhappy. How many folks do we see there, musicians, athletes, business people, that they have wealth, but the rest of their life is disproportionately unbalanced? And it's about defining what happiness is. Happiness to me is having this conversation with you. It's just chatting about life, right? It's meeting folks. It's networking with people. And it's feeling good that we're doing something to try to contribute a little bit. So I encourage people to define what happiness is. And what happens to a lot of folks, they get down the journey in their 40s and their 50s or even younger years, and they create this expectation that they believe defines happiness. And they get there and they're still unhappy because it's an inside-out job. Happiness is an inside-out job. So I agree with you. I think that that's why I think people's pillars and what matters to you is so important.
And you need to stay grounded. You have to have people. And I'd rather have one good friend than 100 people bringing me down. My wife, I have a few friends. I had a conversation, a friend of mine named Jeff. We talked for 3 hours on the phone. Awesome. We talk about spirituality. You talk about business. You talk about life. But these are the people that you want to go, you know what, Scott? It's a great idea, but you know what? How about this? And you've got to be open to that, because if you're not, I mean, I didn't know this existed. I didn't know the philosophy existed. I didn't know I could write a musical. I'd go blah, 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 blah. But you have to be open to that. And once you're open, you're plugged in, however, whether it's through my philosophy, through Scott's philosophy, and reading his book, whatever you do, get something that can mean. I like when I read, I'm not a novel reader. I read like philosophies and systems like you have and belief systems. And I look at it, I put yellow marker on it, or I underline it, I put it down, and I think about it. I just walk around, I'm pondering it. I'm like, and how can this make a difference for me? Because one thing, we can't do this on our own.
No.
Now, what is this thing? And it's not just here in North America, it's everywhere. I can just do it all on my own. I don't need anybody's help, and I'm going to get all the money and all the success. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, I think it's a great, great point. Look, I think it takes a village. I was with a friend having breakfast on Friday morning, and I thanked her for helping me win. And she turned to me and said, it takes a village. And I thought that was so profound, because we're all on the same journey. And if we can all help each other win, we're collectively better together. And when you're comfortable with that and you're vulnerable, hey, Philip, I need some advice on this. What do you think? Taking another viewpoint, looking at other optics. People actually want to help each other, but often what happens, particularly with men, we're afraid to ask for help. We're afraid to have resource. And I think that is a community, when you're open to that, we're all on the same journey. We all go through pain. We all go through adversity. We go through triumph. We go through life together. If we think about it like that, there's room for all of us. And there's room for all of us to get better together. And I think that is incredibly powerful.
Empowering others empowers ourselves. Do unto others. Yeah. I mean, there is, I learn more from listening than I do talking. And, or as my mother used to say, I'm Jewish, and there's an old Yiddish term called vermach the moil. You ever heard that before? But it means shut your mouth. So my mother would say, you got nothing good to say, vermach the moil. And a lot of times, not just in these interviews, I mean, we have exchanges, but I really want to consciously listen. One of the things that was something, I have a little technique it's a mind technique that I do for listening to people. And the problem is with listening, you're so busy, I'm going to answer your question. I didn't hear anything you just said. I am so busy. Can you just finish? Because I am going to, would you just shut up now? And that's what you're saying in your mind, because you're really not listening. And it's a skill. And I had to hone that skill. And I still need to work on it, because I can hear my mind going, little. And I have this little mindset technique that I do. It's no big deal. It has to do it in an oscilloscope and some sine waves and something that's kind of cool. But whatever you do, really work hard at listening. I want to engage people I talk to. I just don't want this to be, oh, we're having a fun. You know, it is a kind of fun. I, of course, but if I can't learn something, then I want to know what I did wrong, how I didn't apply this. My question, you were talking about, we talked about several things, and I don't want to go too, I don't want to go too fast, but what stops you from succeeding?
I think we, in life, what happens is we conform. We conform and we think small, and we have friends in our peer group say, oh, you can't do that. I just wrote a book for the first time. I had folks say to me, why are you going to write a book? You've never been an author. And I've never allowed life to tell me what I can or cannot do. And I think what I encourage your audience to do is have courage to step out of your comfort zone and do things that are different. I think what happens is we conform and we talk ourselves into, well, I can't be there, and I play small and I stay in my comfort zone. As I said earlier, complacency is where dreams go to die. So if I can leave your audience with anything today, is to have courage to step out of the box, to try new things. And the other thing, Philip, you know, there's no failure in attempt. There's only failure with lack of attempt. Mm-hmm. So I never worry about failing. I always worry about being in attempt. I never fail when I'm in attempt. I just started a new company called Yesley Water. It's 6 months old. I'm not going to fail because I've already made the process. I've made the leap. I've jumped in. I'm learning. I learn through failures. I get up and I run again. There's no failure in attempt. There's only failure in lack of attempt.
That's just great words, but the thing with it, I call it the ACDC of the mind, alternating current, ACDC, not the band and not the wall outlet, but the feel a little better, feel a little worse, feel it's dog chasing the tail. And then we escape and go have a beer with some friends or go watch a movie, but then we come back home, we're in silence and we're in fear all over again. You don't want fear to drive you, but how important is it for you? Now, I call it prayer and meditation, but what do you do for yourself to be in silence? Because, and this is just from the philosophy's point of view, and the noise has always been there. It's just on steroids right now because of the idiot box and the idiot box that plugs in the wall, the computer. And how do you do it? Because one of my favorite buttons on the phone is airplane mode. How do you give yourself time? Because you need that quietness to be able to be creative. And then when you're relaxed, you're creative, then you go to the next thing, and then you go to the next thing. But you can't do those unless you're in silence. How do you do that? So those serendipities and accidents and coincidences, those things happen to you more often than they can guide you.
Great, incredible question. I believe that our lives, the greatest asset we'll ever own, it's not our car, our house, our degree. The greatest asset we'll ever own is you. And we sometimes neglect ourselves by not spending enough time in silence with ourselves. I start every day in a morning run. I cool down, I walk, I pray, I meditate on a daily basis. About every 3 months, I take 4 days and I get away to the mountains or somewhere different to change my environment. The only thing I want to do there, I'm actually leaving on Thursday to go to the mountains till Sunday. I just want to walk. I want to think. I want to relax. I want to absorb and spend some time. Because when I can do that effectively and I can recharge and rebuild, I can give more to others. I can make a difference. I can continue to improve. Why do people burn out? They say, I'm working so hard. You ever meet those folks who are working really hard, but they're really never going anywhere because they're kind of durable on the treadmill, right?
Yes.
And that daily time of meditation or prayer or silence helps us all set for the day. That time to change your environment for 2 or 3 days allows you to look at things anew. I think the greatest asset you'll ever own is you, and doing that work allows you to improve year over year. I believe in servant leadership. I always want to give back. If I'm not recharged, I can't give back to others. But when I'm recharged, I can give back to others. I could be a good listener. I could be a good friend. I could be a good teammate. I could be a good mentor. And I could just be a better human. And ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, what do we all want to achieve? I don't know, Philip. The way I think about it is I just want to be a better human every day, every year. Some days I stink at it. Some days I'm great at it, right? And it's really not about perfection. It's about progress. And if you think of life that way on the journey, are you making just progress, not perfection? Perfection's boring. It's a waste of time.
The movie.
But progress is really fun. And it's filled with peaks and valleys, and it's not a straight line. So I believe, to answer your point, you got to work on your greatest asset yourself.
That's their inner knowing, your ajadoi, your soul knowledge, whatever you want to call it. And you're absolutely right. When you're at peace and you're relaxed, you're a better husband, a better friend, a better partner, a better parent, a better everything. List goes on. And then when you're better at that, then you make a difference. Then you open up new ideas, new concepts. One of the things is, again, you can't do this on your own. When you think you can, I don't care who anybody is in the world. I did it on my own. No, you didn't. There were other people and other things, you know, whether it's your mother or whether, you know, it's a friend or an uncle or an aunt. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was that you brought that up about working. There's this misnomer that they say if you work 80 hours a week, if I work longer hours, I'm going to be more successful. I have found in my life that's a falsehood. It's not the amount of hours. It's what you do with your time. I could do more in 4 hours in the morning than somebody could do in 10 hours. And that doesn't make me better. I'm just simply saying I'm laser focused because I'm not worrying about the past, which ended at midnight the night before. I can't worry about the unknown future, which I have no clue what's going to happen. I can't control the outside, but like you said, you can control the inside through your mind. But I have to focus on the now. And that's the thing is I've eliminated all the negativity in my life. That's all negativity. And if it's family or friends, or maybe you limit the time if you have to, but I'm not, I'd rather, like I said, one friend that is picking me up than 100 people bringing me down. So how do you keep that focus? How do you, I want you to address that thing about 80 hours a week, because I work more hours, I'm going to become this or that. Yeah, you're divorced, you have no friends, and you have no family.
Yeah. I think it starts with, you know, I write about this in some of mindset pillars. And what do I mean by pillars? I believe a business should have pillars. At Yesly, we say one of our pillars is we're a we culture. We want everybody to have a valuable voice. We want to be in pursuit of our goals. Me personally, my pillars are my faith, my family, others, and business. If they don't fall into those four things throughout my day, I block them out. I block the noise out because I'm focused on those four pillars that serve my life to make me better. And when I do that, I can toggle between them. One's usually a little upside down. And I say, hey, I got to focus on my others more to serve people. Or I got to focus on my family a little more. But I'm always toggling between those pillars. And to your earlier point, it's not about 80 hours a week. It's the quality of your work. And I'll say another thing. When you have passion about what you do and you love what you do, you get better at it. And when you work hard at your craft, you also become more efficient at it. And then to your earlier point, hey, when's your energy source? 4 hours in the morning or the 4 hours at night? How do you maximize your energy source? That's really, really important as well. Like you, my energy source is early days till about midday. I'll take a break. I'll go back at it. But I'm working with efficiency. I'm working with intention. And I'm focused on four pillars. And in those four pillars, I want to learn on every one of them. And I want to serve on every one of them. So I've gone on and run businesses where there are very great people inside great brands, but highly dysfunctioned. And first thing I say is, what are our pillars? And they're like, well, we don't really have pillars. What are we operating on, right? So human beings need pillars too, because when the storms hit us in life, which they hit us all, we know those pillars will guide us through them. We'll come out the other side better. So in the Summit Mindset, I encourage people, it's really a prescriptive book about figuring out what your pillars are. Who is Philip? You know what? If you close your eyes and you, like yourself, I've interviewed hundreds, probably thousands of people in my career. And I say, who are you? And they say, well, I'm hardworking, I'm a family guy, and I'm a good person. Well, close your eyes. Everybody can say that.
Right.
Doesn't matter who Philip is, right?
Right.
I think one of the problems with people is they don't really identify what defines them. And then how do they operate within those definitions? My pillars allow me to operate within the way I live my life. And everything else that doesn't form those pillars is out of the way. What happens? I become incredibly efficient because I'm always focused on the things that matter.
You have a foundation, and the pillars give you a foundation. Maybe somebody has to have representation. In the philosophy, I'm just showing him my part of it is the sand timer, the now and the future, the conscious, subconscious, the fulcrum, the balancing. These are the ACDC, all the five steps. These are things that I do it for me. So you go and read his book, and you understand what the five pillars are. See, that's the whole thing about talking with people. I have 100, probably 100 books and a bunch of DVDs and some audio books. And I just listen. We talked about this before record. I listen to bits and pieces of it, and I just stop it. I'm like, oh, what? There was a movie I saw several years ago called The Secret. It was done by a woman named Rhonda Byrne. And people, oh, The Secret, blah, blah. I'm like, I got so much out of it because I don't care about, oh, she's this person. No. She made something that was phenomenal for me. And I got different parts. I'm like, oh. And I'll look at it sometimes because every day I read, watch a video or watch or watch something on the internet or read something to start my day. One thing I definitely do in the morning, I read about this many years ago and I kind of expanded on it. I watch something funny. If my day is starting out in a negative frequency, I'm like, whatever. You sit there going, well, why am I feeling that? It is what it is. It doesn't matter. I'll watch The Silly Walk from Monty Python. I'll watch something stupid. I'll watch The Three Stooges. I'll watch just for 5 or 10 minutes. And if you start laughing, that whole negative mindset, the whole noise just kind of whittles away, just goes away. One thing that was interesting you mentioned about, when is your best mindset? What are your energy? I'm more in the morning. But in the afternoon, it just slows down. But I pick and choose. And I think that's one of the things that you have to experience, not only just as a business owner, but in your life. What is the best time to do something?
And it
it takes a lot of work. Because if you come home, when I started doing this business on my own, this is the first time I've ever gone to business of myself. And I was in the corporate world. I was an engineer in the medical field and all this stuff. And I'm like, I would besiege that, just like go and tell my wife all these things. She go, hold on. I just finished my day. I need 5 minutes. It was just, I had to figure out how to do this in a way that was more communicative. Even if I talked to my buddies and like, I need a few minutes. I can talk to you later. Tell me tomorrow during the day. But you have to kind of figure these. And it does take a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. And you have to be mindful of what you're doing. You have to be consciously aware of what you're doing. Like you're talking about the pillars. You have to have some kind of foundation to be able to do what you want and the best way you want. So how do you find your true purpose? How do you find that in your life? I mean, we talked about it briefly, but let's say you're doing a job, say you're an accountant, but you always wanted to be, I don't know, a musician. Or you're a musician, you want to be my wife's an actuary. So you want to be I would want to be an actuary, but say you want to do that, but you don't know how to get there. How do you kind of get out of that so you go after your dreams and you feel whole?
I love that question. I think I talk about it a lot in the Summit Mindset. And again, I talk about business and individuals. I think businesses need a North Star. I think individuals need a North Star. Whether they're younger in the middle or at the end of their life, they need a North Star. And what is a North Star? What are you in pursuit of in life? Like, what sets your soul on fire? My North Star is I want to be the best human I can be. I want to leave a dent in the universe. I want to make a small difference in the world. And again, it doesn't mean perfect. Doesn't mean some days I don't stink and other days I'm great at it. But I'm always focused on servant leadership. I'm always focused on trying to give back. I'm focused on others. I'm focused on business and competing. I'm focused on writing a book to leave kind of a message for folks to give them a guiding principle. So I think people have to understand that guitar that sits behind you. Is that your North Star? Is your passion music? People have to understand what really gets them going and stimulates them? What is their North Star in life? And I think what happens is folks go through a lot of life and we all hit adversity and they start to lose their mojo along the journey and they start to lose their happiness and they start to lose why it didn't work or what's going on in life. And what happens is they end up in this kind of mundane kind of trough, not knowing that what is their North Star? Maybe their North Star is going camping with their family. Maybe their North Star is gardening in the backyard. Maybe their North Star is cooking in the kitchen. See, things don't have to be monstrous or huge. They just have to be something that gets you moving. And I think we kind of create this pressure on ourselves that these North Stars have to be these big, big, crazy goals. No. What can you do in your life consistently that brings you happiness? That's where your North Star should start. What can you do in your life consistently that brings you happiness? And when we can create that in our life, we're already billionaires when we do that because we're happy people.
Inside. And yeah, you hit it really well. Well, we see all these things. So like if you go on, you know, the internet, you know, there's always a video. I want to see something. And it's like, do you want to make $1 million in 45 microseconds? No, I don't. And, you know, just sign up for this, sign up for that, sign up for this. And it's this whole thing that we were talking about earlier, you know, going after that thing. But when you get that thing, you want more. And then you want more and you want more. But you put all that stuff, you know, I got a fancy shirt. I'm not knocking it. If that's what you want, that's fine. But for me, stuff doesn't mean anything. It's the stuff in my life. The people in my life is the stuff for me. It's not about...
Well, it's that inside out job, right? Yeah. Life's an inside out job. Business is an inside out job. And that's the work we have to do to have continuous improvement, but doing an inside out job.
But focusing on that, again, we go back to silence and taking time or taking, I always have a pencil. I mark down questions while you're talking or I'll say something, I'll look at, but I always have an eraser because I can't spell and I can't read my handwriting anyway. But to me, it's always, well, not because of the technology. If I have something going on, if I have a composition or something I want to write, because I play music at my seminars, that's part of the seminar. And I have a portable piano now and I'm playing the guitar and I'm doing all this other stuff, but I've got something going to my mind. I immediately write it down. And to me, I'm so plugged in to the subconscious imaginational mind. Now, again, audience, just to focus, that doesn't mean Scott and I, we're not better than anybody or worse than anybody. And it doesn't mean we don't go through stuff. Of course we go there. How do you think we figured this stuff out? But the whole thing is, he's got pillars. I've got my stuff. You've got to find something that works for you. What's the best time of day? Was it, you know, it's kind of like, I give an example. It's like we get stuck in a bad job or a bad relationship. So we go through, there's some steps I go through in the philosophy, but one of them is I pray to God. It's not a religious thing. It's like, God, I just need some help. I got a bad relationship. So I'm doing a bad conscious mind relationships, better, worse. It's get your best clothes on. It's a waste of time. So, God, I want to find a good relationship. There's something meant for me. And then you go and just watch TV. You go to watch a movie. And the next day, you're in the same thing. And you go, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better. In fact, it's raining today. Tomorrow, the sun's out. I'll do it better. And the next day, you don't do it again. And you just go through it. And the next thing you know, it's 10 years later. Next thing you know, you're 10 years more later. And it just, you know, we don't live that long. And as far as I know, and I ask this question sometimes, unless you're aware, I don't think we could take any of this stuff with us.
Yeah.
We need to make it, I love that, inside out. It's also a good cartoon movie from Disney. Inside out. It's so true.
Yeah, it's so true. Important. I think the inside out job is really one of the most profound meanings of life. I think that we all have to do the work. And we do fail every day at little things, but if we can close those gaps and get better, that's the inside out work. I think the magic bullet in whatever you want to do in life is consistency. If you do things like your morning prayer consistently, meditating consistently, I go out for a run every morning consistently. I love to have a mindset to always learn consistently. Consistency is the magic bullet because it over time continues to allow us to get better and continue to improve. What happens to a lot of folks, you meet a friend and you say, hey, he goes, I'm going to go out for a walk 3 times a week. And you see him a week later, you go, hey, Bill, did you go out for the walk? Yeah, it was raining yesterday. I didn't go. Hey, did you go out for a walk on Friday? Ah, it was so hot. No, you decided not to be consistent in what you set out to do. And if we take it that simplistic and create consistency in our lives, we become happier humans, man. That's a fact.
But you become better And again, become a human is an overview, because then again, you become a better partner, a better friend, yeah, a better this, a better that. So you're always striving. One thing I noticed is because I want to be the better version of myself all the time. And sometimes, you know, I get pissed off at something stupid, like an egg blew up in the microwave. I'm yelling at the microwave. We yell at a lot of inanimate objects and a lot of stupid stuff. But you go to one glass ceiling, you break it, you do another one, you do another one, you do another one. But one thing I found out, an interesting point you talked about, consistency. When I've gotten off track, and we all do, it just happens, and we don't know it. And whatever we do to distract ourselves, and the next thing you know, for me, it's a lot of noise in that conscious mind. I'm like, that's not me. What am I losing? Oh, well, I was doing this and I stopped doing this process. I stopped doing the prayer and meditation. But when I celebrate, for me, I play music. My instrument's competency from the top down is piano, guitar, bass, and drums. So I'll play piano and then I'll play guitar. But this is the stuff for me. Somebody paints, somebody writes, somebody gardens, somebody cooks, somebody cleans the bathroom. It really doesn't matter.
That's right. It does not matter, Philip, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be something that sets your soul on fire, that stimulates you, and you do it on a consistent basis. And I think that's what we all need to strive for, because it helps us, to your point, be better partners, friends, business people, husbands and wives, and boyfriend and girlfriends. It makes us better humans.
I don't want to run out of time for this. The Summit Mindset book, I know you gave some of the pillars. Can you give me some more of the key points? So the audience can hear this and go, I'm getting that book.
Yeah, The Summit Mindset is a book I wrote with Jane Seymour, who's a New York Times bestselling author. We co-authored it together. And it's really about life. It talks about courage. It talks about, like I said earlier, I encourage everyone to have courage, to not think small, to attack life. You know, this isn't a dress rehearsal. And let's live our best life, right? It talks about happiness, as we talked earlier. How do you define happiness? What does happiness mean to you? Happiness is not the lottery. Happiness is what sets your soul on fire, like you, Philip, playing music. Define what happiness means to you. It talks about adversity. Adversity comes to all of us in life. None of us are sheltered from the rain. And those pillars I talked about help you get through those adversity times. In fact, I know this summer to me, something terrible happened. I was in a car with a driver that drives me a lot to the airport. And on that drive, that driver fell to the front wheel and went into cardiac arrest. And I was able to jump over from the back seat to the front seat, hit the brake, and grab the steering wheel, call 911, and start to work on him. And the cops arrived 7 minutes later. He was a big man, took five cops to pull him out of the car, work him on the ground. And unfortunately, he didn't make it. And as I sat on the curb in tears, the adversity of life, I said, what's the lesson here to myself? And it took me about 48 hours, and I'd met with this family, and they came by, and I was able to be with him at the end there. But the lesson to me was, am I living my life with purpose? Mm. Am I living my life doing the things in this one-time journey for all of us with purpose, and am I in pursuit of my life? And I was able to answer that question, yes, I am. Talking to you today is purpose. So I just remind your audience that this is a short journey for all of us. Live your life with purpose and in pursuit of what makes you happy, because adversity will continue to come to all of us. It's part of living, and it's how we get through those things and serve others along the way.
Well, you're asking the question, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to get out of this? What are you just, however you ask that, it's like you're sitting there and I mean, being in the medical field, I've been in rooms where people die.
Yeah.
And the first time it happened to me when I first started a million years ago in the business, I felt something. I totally felt something. But that's just me, spiritual person. But it was an interesting feeling, because it was like, I feel like air, something going by. I couldn't even explain it. And it can happen just like this. Now, I always think that I'm on my deathbed and the spirits and angels around me yelling at me going, we gave you every opportunity to do X and you did A, B, and C. You never even got that far in the alphabet. What is wrong? We gave you all these serendipities. That's why I asked you at the beginning, what was that thing that guided you? Because what you're doing is very different. And it has to be, it's like, I just want to lay there and going, you did the best you could.
Yeah.
You know, there is no such thing as perfection. We talked a little about, you mentioned something earlier in the interview, but it's about what you're doing now. It's not what you leave. It's not how much money you leave. It's not what you know, nobody's going to remember us.
Right.
Nobody's going to remember anything, and you're not supposed to. How are you making a difference to people now? How many times have you talked in front of people that, I'm sure some people come to you going, Scott, you know, it's really made a difference in this discussion. This is the third time I've seen you, or the first time, or whatever. But most people don't tell you. But I've had people, because I've been doing this since March of this year in 2023 with the philosophy and doing seminars. And I've had people come up to you and say, I made a difference. And like, I'm thinking to myself, you only hear it once. Please talk to me. Tell me how I made a difference. And I leave there and we're talking sometimes an hour after I'm done. And they're like, inspired. And I'm like, what did I do? And I'm listening to them like, there's something in myself. You're talking about inside out. I saw something in myself, because that's what your philosophy is. It can't come from the outside in. You can try, but the outside doesn't have a clue who you are. And once you realize that, you can expand and doors will open like you wouldn't believe. And like, how did that happen? Well, you're never going to know. But it just expresses itself so well. And I can't say anymore. It's just the best. So I know we're coming towards the end of our interview here, and there's a whole bunch of other questions I wanted to talk to you. Maybe I'll have you on the show again. But sure. I want to ask you to leave the audience you have already, but leave something else, a positive aphorism, something positive to say. They're going, I like that. And you've already done a few, but something else.
Yeah, real quick one for you. Many years ago when I was going through a lot of adversity, you know, I actually have a lot of tattoos, and if you've bought the book, The Summit Mindset, you'll see a lot of my tattoos on the book. But I was going through the adversity, and the positive thing I did for myself, I had a hard time getting out of bed one morning. And I went and got a tattoo, and I tattooed the word onward on my inside bicep. So every day that I woke up through that adversity and I was shaving, I could see the word onward to remind myself the importance to always be onward in life. So to your audience, to know that every human being goes through ups and downs, to always, and I mean always, be onward.
That's great. And I really appreciate it. Scott, thank you for being on the show today. It's been a wonderful conversation.
An honor to spend some time with you, Philip.
Thank you. Same here. And remember, it's more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.